Well, since there's only two of you, I guess. I don't know, do I need the mic? I had some water damage over the weekend, so I lost my DVD writer and everything else on my computer. About $50,000 worth of damage, so I couldn't... all my animation and everything else is gone. It's shot because it was all on DVD. I had video clips and everything. It's hilarious. Yeah. Had a water pipe break at 3 in the morning. Second floor, went in my basement, in my computer room's in the basement, so I just went all the way and down. So, all right, well, give me money or get hacked. Money, it'll cost you. Protection will cost you. I don't care how you look at it. If you're going to want proper protection, it will cost you. We'll discuss, you know, the cost of protection, why did we get hacked, how to get money to allocate to your department to prevent being hacked, how to educate your users but without giving them, quote, the too much information, buzzwords, you know, how you give someone, you know, the terms that are like, oh, I know what a T1 is, and they turn around and, you know, next thing you know, they're blaring everyone is, oh, yeah, you know, I heard something about the firewall. Maybe the firewall is what brought the server down, you know. Then we're maybe some security awareness, what's good and what's bad, and then we'll wrap up. Basically, how deep are your pockets? I mean, securing a network, it can cost you anywhere from $10,000 to $1 million, depending on the amount of users you have and to the level of security you want. A lot of people don't realize, you know, it's desktops, operating systems, antivirus, et cetera, stuff like that, any type of management inventory control to applications, email, financial, HR, websites. Even to your networks, a lot of people don't realize this, you know, once you throw a switch into place, you know, you just leave it and let it go. Are they keeping up with, like, iOS, the iOSs on a Cisco switch or something, or are they keeping up with the firewall updates? You know, are they to the latest service pack levels? You know, that's all you need is an SMP trap, you know, error come through, and, you know, there's your exploit, and people are sending messages to your servers and doing net shutdowns and everything else like that. I'm going to probably fly through this because there's only two of you guys. That's cool. So it really comes out to what we were figuring out was on a 1,000-person network with approximately 50 servers. The estimated cost per desktop user and for network security would run anywhere between $75 to $250 a year. It should be estimated budget for you for per desktop. Yes, exactly. That's what we were talking about was antivirus updates for like Norton operating systems were not included in that. Typically, you know, you just get the regular update. There's no subscription upgrade for those. But annual maintenance costs, subscription upgrades, email if you have to keep your email current or something like that. Obviously, I don't think you want to be running a version of Exchange 5.0 anymore. So you definitely do want to update those. You know, switches, firewalls, everything else like that. I know Checkpoint, to go to the latest version of Checkpoint, you need a subscription upgrade. The same with, you know, a couple of the other firewalls out there. And if you have any maintenance contract supports, those cost you, and those run some big time bucks, depending on, again, number of access points you have, the T1 points, you know, firewalls, stuff like that, you know, based on one firewall, you know, a couple, you know, about 100 servers and 1,000 users. Biggest question a lot of people ask is, they hacked us. Why? I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's 80% of all hacks are not from having protection. Hacks, you know, in range. I started actually putting these into order, and then I realized, you know, where do I rate stupidity? You know, but mostly the number one and number two types of hacks are from internal users within your network. They're the ones who are dealing with the systems who already actually have access to the systems, and they're the ones who's going to, you know, where most of your hacks are going to come from. And define a hack to maybe just corrupting data or actually deleting accounts, whatever, however you want to call it. It really does fall into that category. And then viruses.
That's, you know, that's pretty lame. I've seen about three people today.
I'm not with, like,
fine.
I would say it goes both. I mean, what is a old version of Norton antivirus from 1999 going to do you? Is it going to provide you any protection? I think it's very minimal. I mean, especially if there's something like the I Love You virus that came out a year later. Is that going to stop it? Not really. And then, you know, again, and then in the other categories, you have your hackers from the outside that are going to hack if you don't keep your firewalls. How many businesses actually put money towards protection? How many small businesses actually have a firewall in place? And the majority of them don't. A lot of them say, oh, yeah, well, we have internet access, and you find out they have a little Linksys or they're just doing a little natting there. They might have a, you know, high school computer geek who's sitting there going, hey, I can put a web server up and I can do DHCP from it as well and, you know, use it as a proxy server. And then I put stupidity at the bottom because, you know, really that falls at the top. But it goes across the board anywhere. I mean, it's just how many you have to rank stupidity with your users because of the fact that, you know, I can write a batch file, send it out there in email, and inside the batch file say format C colon star star. Are you sure? Yes. And you just put in a little email saying, hey, check out this pic, pass it along. And, of course, they're going to click on it. You know, so, you know, really, really stupidity, you can't cost justify that. If you want, you can just say, well, it's just going to cost $1 million per user. Call it money protection. To be proactive or not, really, it's if you don't have money to begin with, how do you get money? That's kind of where we're going with this is how do you get money to protect your network? How can you be proactive if you don't have the latest updates and stuff like that? It's really a tough battle, and if you're trying to be proactive, a lot of employers actually look at it as, well, you're the one who's securing the network. Why did we get hacked here? And the question you're going to come back is, well, we don't have the most current updates. It's a catch-22 you fall into, especially being a network security engineer. You fall into the catch-22 because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I mean, you can say, well, I'm not going to do anything. You know, you guys, it's not worth it. But then they're going to look at you and say, you need to secure your network. It's your responsibility. So really, at what level do you secure your network to? And that level is really look at what level you can repair within an hour. If you have a minor outage or something happens, what's the minimum amount of damage they can actually do? And if you only have so much money to actually go with, only secure those things that are very crucial. I'm sorry? Yeah, exactly. You're risk managing it, the whole thing. And that goes with how can I protect without money is, you know, you have to risk manage it, management. Also educate your users, kind of. And, you know, always remember, if you don't educate your users, ignorance is very expensive. There's nothing saying anything about that. I mean, it falls into the stupidity, but a lot of users just sit there and go, oh, I got this VBS script, what is it? Or why can't I send this 30 meg file or something? They don't understand that, you know, that'll crash an email server, especially Exchange 5.5. Oh, yeah, and, you know, then they start opening up, you know, shares across the network and stuff, and they don't understand that there's rewrite accesses, and it's completely open, so anyone can go in and just start deleting things. I like to quote Young Jedi, you don't fully understand the power of the Force. That really comes into where, when do you cross the line when educating becomes too much information for your end users? When do they start running around saying, oh, well, you know, They don't understand that antivirus and firewalls are completely different, that a firewall won't protect you from a virus and antivirus won't protect you from hacks. Just a second. As a wife. One thing I've noticed from my experience is never show a hack demonstration. A lot of people sit there and say, oh, great, you know, even it doesn't matter how minute it is, it doesn't matter what it is, even if it's very simple and if it's not even, quote, technically a real hack, it's just some showing that there's a permission left open or something and saying, hey, see, you know, if you probe long enough, you'll find this and, you know, these are things you can find. What you do is you create a doubt in your user's mind and you break a level of trust. The moment you actually show them that, they're going to think that you have access to everything, which you probably already do, but to the level of well, he can hack our network, you know, or he can read my email. And you start to create doubt in people's mind. They also start to wonder what you do, what you have done, if you start to become on the criminal side of things. There's a lot of doubt that starts going on in through the psyche of the user because they don't know where you stand now. You know, it's kind of like in a gray line. There's like, okay, do we trust a criminal? You know, this guy robbed a bank, and yet he's the new security officer for the bank. Do we trust him or not? You start to fall in that gray line, and it's really something somewhere you want to stay out of. You want to stay above that. You want to look like the hero. You want to look like the cop. And I found use simple technology terms. I call them CB terms. Stay away from the technical side. You start mentioning things like VLANs, T1s, firewalls. You just went over the user's head, and you just gave them too much information because they don't remember exactly what those terms do. All they know is that it's something with a VLAN or it's something with a firewall. And they might look up on the internet, and they might see the first thing, and they go on Google or Yahoo, and they type in VLAN, and the first hit it comes across, they click on it, and it might be false information. Well, next thing you know, that one user is like multiplying like rabbits. That one user talked to Sally over in accounting, and then Sally talked to her girls at the, you know. And next thing you know, you've got half the company sitting there going, oh, well, you know, we've got VLAN problems. And, you know, it's a fire, one fire after another that you have to fight, and it's an endless battle if you go there. So be very careful how you word things. Keep a lot of technical information to yourselves. If you're talking about VLANs, just say the network's segmented. I would leave it very simple like that. In fact, if you be very afraid, be very careful. I've found that if you say, "Well, network's going to be down for firewall upgrades," you obviously don't want to say the network's going to be down for firewall upgrades because I've had problems where 20 minutes later or something or next following day, when my servers go down and I hear my users thinking they know IT, it's like, "Well, the server's down. It must be because of the firewall." You know, it's like, "Hello, okay," you know, and you can just get to a point where, okay. Unless you're in IT, don't tell me what to do because, you know, you really get into that. You know, if you think you know what the problem is, then go fix it. You know, you want to say that to your users, but you can't. I wouldn't even say that. If you're saying something like, for the instance of, you know, the firewall's going, instead of saying the firewall's going to go down for maintenance upgrades, I use words like the internet connectivity. Mm-hmm. Connection will be down for 20 minutes for upgrades. I leave it very generic. As far as they know, the internet's going to be down, but I'm not telling them exactly what server. I'm not saying a router. I'm not saying the switch. Again, like I said, as soon as you say that, they're going to start, they got these buzzwords in their head. And when something happens, like if they can't print, for instance, they're going to sit there and say, oh, it must be something wrong with the router. They just did upgrades. They don't understand it. It's beyond them. But yet they want to sound like they're technical. They want to sound like they actually know what they're doing. So really, it comes down to security awareness. Is it good or bad? The good sides of it, the security. And I say security awareness. Let me back up here. Starting educational programs, saying, okay, now understand that these are scripts. These are, you know, maybe start off with something with VBS bat files. Trying to explain to them extensions, try to explain to them path and file names. You have to start off simple. I mean, basically, like, these users, just because they work at a computer doesn't mean they actually understand it. So you have to actually explain everything right from the very beginning that your hard drive is not your screen. You know, the hard drive is something actually that's actually inside your computer. The box is not your CPU. And, yes, this is your mouse and this is your keyboard. You really have to start off that basic. You actually have to start off with explaining to them a hard drive, explain to them that the C colon is your root of your drive and everything else. You actually have to go through basic computer 101 with them, especially when you're explaining to users. I work in an educational institution, and I have never found more stupid users than I've ever come across. They don't understand that if you... if they turn off the screen to the monitor, they actually think the machine shut down. The bad side of this, users start to become very paranoid. You'll be getting a call every time that they receive an attachment saying, can I open this? Can I do that? Can I do that? So you have to really kind of do an analysis of your users, figure out where you're going to go with it, decide what you're going to talk about, and stay away from a lot of terms, because again, you will have users that will call you up at 3 in the morning, you know, on your cell phone and say, "I just got this attachment. I was just working, or this I got a NetSend message. Did someone just hack me?" Because they're working at home, they've got a cable modem, and they're just plugged right into the cable modem. And of course, someone went through and did the net message spam. It doesn't matter what it is. They're just going to freak out and call you and say, "I think someone hacked my computer." That's pretty much it. Like I said, a lot of my animation files and everything else I had got destroyed. If you just go through the ones, you know, rate yourself, you know, you have to use the scare factor in a way to get money. And the best way to get money is to educate your users, educate your departments. A lot of times, businesses aren't going to allocate money for network security. Instead, what you might want to do is talk to the financial people, like certain people in the financial department that actually take care of the financial budgets, the HR budget and stuff. Educate those users. You don't always have to necessarily educate your end users to that level. Maybe you're more your department heads or something who controls the budget, and explain to them, look, okay, this is great, but if you're going to implement a new financial application, let's say Great Plains or something, do you guys understand that you need to actually allocate some money? It might cost you $100,000 for the software, but now allocate an extra $20,000 for network security on this on top of that. And if you educate those users, they're going to actually plan that ahead, and they're going to actually favor that in your budget. On a line item, it's not in your budget, but again, they can always take that extra $20,000 for that implementation or something, and they can move it over. I mean, it's just a line item, actually. But it's actually educating your users. So, again, like someone in HR just doesn't decide to run out and go off and buy a Linksys access point or something, or they go off and say, "Hey, I've just found this new software, and we decided to buy it, and we're going to implement it." And that goes on a lot because they don't think of the ramifications. They don't understand the security points. It's running some database. It's running Access. Is that secure? And, you know, if you're sitting there shaking your head and you're like, why did you just buy some software that runs on Access? So if you actually educate those users and have them come to you, not for every individual purchase, you know, the larger purchases, they should come to you. And obviously, if they're going to buy some sort of tracking software or something like that, or an online subscription for a website, you know, but you don't want to have them calling you every so often, but just make sure that they use some good judgment. You know, ask, you know, some basic questions, whatever that is within your firm, whatever that is within your realm, whatever you guys have to face on a constant basis. If they're buying stuff that connects to the internet, you know, obviously you want to ask them, you know, make sure that they're aware of, is there any spyware included? You know, what kind of ports are they sending? Is it blocked? Are you guys going to have any security issues from your firewall? Stuff like that. So that's about it. Any questions? Cool. Like I said, it was short. I'm sorry? I could, but I just don't have a website up right now. Like I said, I lost my machines. I lost 6 of them, actually. And I'm hoping my insurance company actually covers all 6. Just a second. I think I was looking over a gig. I was using some full motion AVI and DivX pictures as well. It was really intense. It wasn't even a PowerPoint slide. It was more of a DivX motion picture file. And I just basically wanted to walk away. And it was supposed to have some really cool sound effects in it and everything else and animation. Unfortunately, that all got destroyed. Hopefully, I can recover from a backup once I settle with my insurance company. That's if they'll cover the machines. All right, well, thanks.